Ted Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. It is written, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. It is written, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. It is written, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. 'Twas a sheep, not a lamb, that wandered away. In the parable Jesus told, 'twas a full-grown sheep that wandered away from the 99 in the fold. Out in the desert and out in the dark, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd sought. Back to the fold and back to the flock, 'twas the sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and so earnestly look and pray? Because there is danger if the sheep go wrong, the lambs will be led astray. And so for the sheep we earnestly plead, for the sakes of the lamb today. For if the sheep are lost, what a horrible cost the lambs will have to pay.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus is the only one who used the term verily, I say unto you. However, in the book of John, he often used it twice. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily means amen, I say unto you. That word verily seems to stress what he is going to say. Now, everything the Lord said is important. But some things are not as important to our salvation as others. Methuselah was 969 years old, and he died. That is a true statement. But a preacher may preach for 100 years and never mention that gem of truth, and it would not affect a person's salvation. But when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that seems to give special emphasis to what he has to say. So this chapter begins with the double verily. First, Jesus warns about the arrival of false prophets when he describes as thieves and robbers. Peter, in his second epistle, speaks of these false teachers when he warns, but there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers. False teachers, he said, who shall make merchandise of you, with feigned words. That word feigned is very interesting. The original word for feigned is plastois. We get our English word plastic from that word. Plastos means to shape, mold, and make fit. Today we can make a lot of things from plastic. plastic can be shaped and molded into almost any kind of gadget we want to make. A false prophet can take any scripture and mold it and shape it and make it fit anything he wants it to say. Jesus had said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." Where shall we look for these false prophets? A good example is found when Jesus washed the feet of the apostles. In that episode, Jesus predicted that one of you will betray me. The apostles were shocked and had no idea as to the identity of the traitor. However, they did not look with suspicion on Judas, or Peter, or John, or any of the others. Since Jesus said, "There is one of you that will betray me," they believed what he said and began to ask, "Is it I, Lord?" Each one thought, "If one of us can betray Jesus, it could be me as well as anybody." In other words, if there is a false prophet in the midst of us, it might be me or my preacher as well as anyone else. Everyone must ask, "Is it I, Lord? Verily, verily, I say unto you." However, there are other great themes in this chapter other than the verily, verily of false prophets. Jesus said, "I am the door to the sheepfold." And he said it twice. "I am the door," the first time. "I am the door. All that came before me are thieves and robbers." And the other time he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He is the door to the sheep. Whether the fold of the sheep is the church or heaven, the fact remains, Jesus is the only way to enter in. Jesus himself said, "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only door. Some might try to enter in by the door of good works, but that door was sealed by the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans, the 3rd chapter, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of the asp is under their lips. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It is obvious that the Holy Spirit does not have a very high opinion of the morality of the human race. Every door to heaven that man can devise has been closed and sealed shut. No other world religion has the key to the door, because Jesus is the door. And no other little g God has an only begotten Son named Jesus. All doors except Jesus have been sealed shut by the cherubims that were stationed at the tree of life and turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Jesus is the door to salvation. There used to be a popular gospel chorus that spoke to this particular thought. "One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?" There's only one door, and only one, and that's Jesus. Remember, too, when Jesus said he was the door, he also said all others were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now, if they were thieves and robbers, what did they steal? Just look around you and see what is missing in the church. In the 8th chapter of Acts, we read that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then when they came up out of the water, is there anything missing today in the church regarding that event? Have thieves and robbers been at work? Peter told the believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there anything missing today regarding that event in the church? Have thieves and robbers been at work? Then Jesus said not only was he the door, but he also said that he was the good shepherd. Then again, these two times I mentioned in the chapter, he said, I am the good shepherd twice. The first time I am the good shepherd is when he said, the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. The second I am of the good shepherd is when he said, I know mine own, and mine own know me. Jesus is without doubt the good shepherd from the standpoint of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If Jesus is your shepherd, the greatest need in your life has been satisfied. Look no further for the peace that passeth all understanding. He is the good shepherd also because by his own admission he said he would lay down his life for the sheep. He said, no one taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. Jesus sweated blood for me. Jesus laid down his life for me when he died on the cross. It was because of me that Jesus would cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Again, Jesus is the good shepherd from the standpoint of life after death of this body. In Hebrews 13, we read, Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus Christ make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus the Good Shepherd is also the chief shepherd. Peter spoke of the elders of the church when he said, The elders among you I exhort, who am also a fellow elder. And then he gave them instructions and reminded them that someday the chief shepherd would appear, and they would receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Ladies and gentlemen, the faithful elder will someday know why the chief shepherd is indeed the good shepherd. The good shepherd also said that he has other sheep which are not of this fold. This was an obvious reference that day would come when the gospel message would be given to the Gentiles. They also would be welcomed into the fold. Jesus said they shall become one flock, one shepherd. This reminds us of what Paul tells us in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Evidently, the situation of many denominations in the world is not the plan of the Good Shepherd. He wants us all to be one. He prayed that they all might be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. I attended a revival one time many years ago where many denominations were represented. One man was called on to pray, the prayer of benediction, and this was his prayer. O Lord, there are over 300 different denominations in the world, and I thank you for every single one of them. Jesus prayed that they all might be one. And, ladies and gentlemen, he is the Good Shepherd. Whatever the answer is to the unity question, one thing is certain. There was a time when the church was united in one body, and that was on the day of Pentecost and for a short time following. We are told that they were of one heart and soul. How were these people identified, by the way? We read on three occasions that they were called Christians and not something else. If that be the case, why wear any other name in place of it today? Why not be a Christian and nothing else? If you are a Christian, say so. Why try to be a hyphenated Christian? Jesus is the good shepherd again because he knows his sheep and calleth his sheep by name. When the Lord first met Peter, he said, Thou art Simon. From henceforth thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation Peter. He knew his sheep by name. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the place of toll and said, Follow me. He knew his sheep by name. He saw a man sitting up in a tree, and he called him by name, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down for the day. I must abide at thy house. The good shepherd knew his sheep by name. At his resurrection, Mary Magdalene supposed him to be the gardener, and he said, Mary. And he called her by name. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. When he raised the brother of Mary and Martha from the dead, he called him by name. In a loud voice he said, Lazarus, come forth. He knew his sheep by name. When he called Saul of Tarsus, he called him by name. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The good shepherd knows his sheep by name. Jesus knows all his sheep, and he can call them all by name, and he won't forget your name, even though you may be numbered, and as ascribed in Revelation, in a multitude that can know no number. No man can number that final multitude of saints from every tribe and tongue and people. At the final resurrection, he will descend from heaven with a shout. That shout will summon each sheep by name, and we will arise because the sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord knows my name. He knows who I am. He knows I am not the Apostle Paul. He doesn't expect me to do what Paul did. He knows I cannot do it. I am glad he knows me for what I am. The Good Shepherd knows you. He does not have you mixed up with somebody else either. Even if you are an identical twin, there will be no mix-up. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep by name. Are we doing what the Good Shepherd knows we can do? Then again, when the gospel is preached, the Good Shepherd calleth his sheep by name. Many years ago, I heard the gospel preached, and the Good Shepherd called my name. True, I did not hear his audible voice, but when they sang such songs as, I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me, I knew I was being called, and went forward and made the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then was immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the door, he is the good shepherd, and notice also he is the Son of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you. At least twice in this chapter, Jesus said he is the Son of God. The first time he said it was when they came round about him saying, If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The second time was when he said, I am the Son of God. On this occasion, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch. Since it was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem, this feast was observed on the 25th of December. Solomon's porch was covered and was large enough to accommodate thousands of people. Later on, the second recorded gospel sermon was preached by Peter in Solomon's porch in Acts, the third chapter, and the converts to the gospel came to be about 5,000 at that time. Now, at the feast of the dedication, Jesus is walking and teaching, using Solomon's porch as shelter from the cold because it was in the winter. The Jews, therefore, came round about him and said, How long dost thou hold us in suspense? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. He told them, and they believed not because they were not of his sheep. He said, Remember again that Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who hath given them to me, is greater than I, and no one shall snatch them out of the Father's hand. Some arrive at the conclusion from this that once you have been saved, you can never be lost. However, they forgot something. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and they shall never perish. Suppose the sheep stop hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. Suppose after they stop hearing his voice, the sheep stop following him. It appears that the never-perish promise does not apply to them. Remember the words of the Apostle Peter when he said in his second epistle, For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, it is worse for them than at the first. For it is better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog turning again to its own vomit, and the sow that was washed a wallowing in the mire. While it is true the good shepherd leadeth me in paths of righteousness, I surely don't have to go. And if I do, I can always turn back from the holy commandment that I obeyed in the first place. Many a Christian today may eat vitamins and the choicest of food to nourish their physical body, and then feed their souls by eating the vomit of pornography and sitcoms on television, and then wallow like a hog in the mire of drugs and drunkenness and immorality. Listen to the Good Shepherd and follow him, and you will never perish, and no one will be able to snatch you from the Father's hand. There were several times he had identified himself as the Christ. In John 6, Jesus said, I am come down out of heaven. In John 8, he said, Your father Abraham saw my day, and he saw it and was glad. They told him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. In this discussion, Jesus told them, I am the Son of God. The same encounter, he also said, I and the Father are one. Jesus had been very plain on his declaration of his divinity, but they rejected the testimony. This should be no surprise to us when we consider that people still reject a lot of things where Jesus has plainly spoken. One of the plainest things Jesus said was about hell. He said, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire. He was plain about that, and people say, He wouldn't say a thing like that. The Good Shepherd speaks plainly, and they still don't believe it. Now this in conclusion. The conclusion of this chapter is when Jesus went away again beyond the Jordan, where John was at the first baptizing, and there he abode. This is a nice touch to the ministry of Jesus. He would be going shortly to the cross, and returns to the place where his ministry began. Here he would remember how he walked about 70 miles to be baptized of John. Here he could recall how he saw the Holy Spirit descending out of heaven in the form of a dove, as he heard the voice of the Father say, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here he could remember how he first met Andrew and John, two men who would become future apostles. Here is where the Good Shepherd would begin his ministry at the age of 30, and make an investment of a 3-year ministry to give his sheep eternal life. Verily, verily, I say, unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God Is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.